This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys. We are back on Dr. Dahlia's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOC. D-A-L-I, taking your calls, your questions, your comments, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So, 3 days ago, one of our listeners got a job interview. Woohoo! Yay! People are hiring. We're starting to see less unemployment. Really, really exciting for people, so I'm really, really excited that some of you guys are getting back into the work field. And the listener was offered a choice between a virtual interview or going in person. And they asked what would be better and what would be ideal. And it's interesting because for some, a virtual interview would be very advantageous. For others, no, it would be in person. And so I ask you guys, you know, how do you feel? Do you feel a virtual interview is kind of the way to go in the future, or should things kind of go back where you have an in-person interview? Now, for me, all right, I have some pros and cons, okay? On film, I don't like the way I look, but in person, I don't think I like the way I look or the way I dress, so that washes out. But I'm very focused on film, so in a virtual interview, I'm here to answer your questions just about you. You're the only person I'm looking at, yet when I go to a building or when I go to a place, I maybe run into people I see or people know me. I'm like, hi, and I'm like, oh, hi. You know, I don't know if I know them or not, but I'm like, oh, my gosh, hi. You know, or somebody else is there and I'm smiling. And I'm very social. And they might be like, no, wait a second. I need you to just focus on me. Okay, just tone down the hyperactivity. I'm also afraid that I might have to go to the bathroom in the middle of an interview. Now, at least on video, I could blame if I have to go to the bathroom, internet. Yet, you know, in person, I'm like, I'm sorry, I really got to pee. Can I go? Yeah, and then you have to stop everything to go. But you never know, when I'm nervous, I always have to go to the bathroom when I'm nervous. So the pros to virtual interviews, and medical students have told me, what was so nice about virtual interviews this last year, is they didn't have to pay for plane tickets. For medical students, you have to travel across the country to interview. So you have to buy a suit. You have to pay for the ticket, pay for the hotel. Nobody pays for this. Then you have to get transportation. You have to show up. You could be compared to other applicants that could be taller and handsomer or prettier or better dressed. And then you're compared to others. And, you know, whereas you could from home in access a program in Connecticut or Texas or Alaska or whatever and interview and feel like you're on the same footing. So I think that's a definite advantage. It saves you money. You have that same footing. My only problem is I was just doing an interview today with News 3, and my internet connection wasn't so good. Well, when your internet connection is so good, it poops out. Well, will that reflect on your application? There's a lot of people out there that have IT angst or IT anxiety or impatience where if they have to log on to you 2-3 times, they're like, you know what? She seemed nice, but we've already interviewed a few people. We'll just go with them. You know, my son had an internship interview, and he dressed up. He goes, Mom, how do I look? I go, oh, my God, you look so handsome. My baby still needs tushy. Oh, my God, so neat. Little fishy tushy all dressed up. Mom, I just need to know, does the tie and the shirt look good? Yeah, it looks good, baby. I love you. Oh, my God, you really look. Okay, so he leaves. He goes and does his virtual interview, and his shirt comes up purple. And not like a cool purple, kind of this obnoxious, bright purple. And he goes, this is weird. It's a black shirt. And, you know, I don't want interviewers to think that I'm trying, you know, because it's for an engineering firm. And, you know, not to stereotype, having a father who was engineering and family members who were engineering, engineers don't really like to stand out. They're like, you know, let's just kind of do the business, and it could be a little bit more dull and more, you know, they're not very hyper animated. And here's my son doing an interview with a bright purple shirt. So, and it wasn't that. It was black. It's just the virtual video made that happen. So I see how virtual could unfortunately limit you. And another thing that worries me about virtual is, let's say I get the job and they look at me and they go, oh my gosh, you know, her hair looks combed. You know, it looks like her makeup is on. Looks like, you know, she's maybe skinnier than she is. And all of a sudden they see me and they're like, wait a second, I think I needed to see the lower half of your body. And then they could be disappointed. And I always fear that I might look better on paper or look better on film than I do in person. Now, people said I look horrible on film and I look better in person, so maybe that's good too. But I do worry about, you know, the expectations. That's why I think, you know, bad things always happen on Tinder and these dating apps, because somebody thinks that they are getting a Greek goddess looking, you know, model, and then they see them in real life going, how did you do a picture like that? Doesn't make sense. Now, another issue is you need to get a vibe of where you're interviewing at. So I would say you might get the job easier by virtual, but if you want to make a good decision about a job, you need to get your tushy on site, because you pick up a vibe. You know, one thing I noticed with some of the students is, you know, they said, well, it doesn't matter if we're not there at the campus or doing the residency interview in person, because everybody's just going to act like they're all happy. You could pick up a vibe. You know, you watch, you could see, you get a flavor of things, you know, and so when you see other workers and you've been as experienced as you are in a workplace, you can, your spidey sense will trigger. And so I also fear that sometimes these virtual interviews will cause such a narrow, you know, view of what the job entails that when you go there, you're like, okay, I don't really have a desk. I don't really have an office. I don't really have, you know, you really miss out on that. So how do you guys feel? Virtual interview or in-person interview? 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Either way, you know, get the job, you know. I mean, don't be that picky. But if you have a choice, I'd say in-person. 1-877-DOC-DALI, don't go away.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safe.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to, we got some breaking news, I'm sorry. Big thanks to Jason, who was working some dials. And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate, excuse me, I got the hiccups. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. Okay, so we have some breaking news. Multiple people have been injured. Apparently, a car jumped a curb and plowed into a bunch of people in Brooklyn. We're only getting some, you know, small details now. First responders are on the scene, but apparently there are a bunch of people injured after somebody in a car jumped the curb and rammed a crowd of people. We'll keep you posted. I think we have at least six people currently being taken care of as we speak. We'll keep you guys posted on that. All right, so over 2,000, I believe, deaths have been reported to the CDC about the flu vaccine. I'm sorry, not flu, the COVID vaccine. So 2,000 deaths have been reported to the CDC. The CDC has not found a link to any of those deaths to the COVID vaccine. And so the CDC wants to reassure people that we aren't looking at COVID vaccine-related deaths. Okay? And let's calm people down. Although there's a family I believe in Carolina, and another family in Kansas who said that their loved one died after having the vaccine. There's multiple families that say, look, they were fine. There's no other explanations. We're pro-vaccine, but can somebody explain, you know, why they were healthy going in and now they're dead? So there's been obviously a lot of fear. There's been these stories spread online, and agencies and public officials want online platforms like Facebook, Twitter, to stop the misinformation. So my question to you all is, what is misinformation? Now, I got the vaccine. I feel the vaccine is safe. But if there's a family that says, look, my loved one had a healthy liver, got the vaccine, went into liver failure, I just want to tell you, you know, I don't know if it's related, but I just want to let you know that happened. Is that misinformation? Or are they allowed to express, guys, just in case there's a link, you know, if you have some liver issues, get yourself checked out. There was somebody who got a blood clot after, I believe, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that's been reported. It was reported in the news that it was vaccine-related, and then, of course, it got backtracked saying, guys, we have to investigate it. Everybody calm down. We have to investigate it. Well, you know, if a family says, look, you know, she got the vaccine a day or two ago, got a blood clot, is it related? Is it, you know, is that considered misinformation? Now, I've been online now for multiple years, and I see somebody come on and say, look, China has taken the virus, has tweaked it, has deliberately used coronavirus to kill off their population, and they are planning to kill the whole world with it. All right, well, that's a pretty bold statement. And I don't know if it's Facebook's responsibility to, you know, curb all that. There was a blonde joke. Apparently, blonde jokes are still allowed. They're about the only jokes left on social media, all right? Blonde jokes, right? Because for some reason, nobody's really offended, even the blondes, you know? I'm a fake blonde, so I'm fine with it. There was a blonde joke. I don't know. I think the joke was two blondes were in a car. They were driving to Disneyland. They saw a sign that said Disneyland left. And then they cried and went home. Okay, all right. I know, not funny, not really politically correct or whatever. But is that misinformation? Were there really two blondes that were in a car, really? Two blondes in a car that drove and saw Disneyland? That's like, really? I mean, that's misinformation. So people put stuff on social media all the time. But public officials are trying to vaccinate people against COVID. And they need everybody, quote unquote, on board. So when somebody does say, look, I don't know what happened to my family member, but they died. And it was after their shot, so I just want to let you know. I just want to warn you. In fact, it's interesting because a lot of people will put in their note, guys, I'm pro-vaccine, don't take this down. All right? You know, don't censor this. I'm pro-vaccine, but I just want to let you know, my husband ended up losing his platelets. Platelets dropped, he got a hemorrhagic stroke and died. And we think it's vaccine related. You know, people they want to tell their story. Now, people will say, look, we got to fight misinformation. We can't have fake news. We can't have, wrong facts dispersed because people use social media as their education, which, by the way, has to stop. Why don't we just educate people to not go to social media for the news? Not go to social media. I mean, I do. I hear about any sort of issue, right? Election issue or, you know, any sort of, you know, celebrity death. I get it on social media first. Social media turned into a news site. It should have never done that. But I get that people want to make sure that somebody isn't saying, look, you know, the flu vaccine will cause you to grow a third testicle. I mean, that's false. Where are they coming up with that? Where are their sources? But what's very, very interesting is there have been people for years saying that they've seen UFOs. And we've all been kind of chalking that up to as well, they're crazy or they're high. I believe that there were aliens or other entities in our universe. I just don't know if I ever really believed in UFOs. Well, now you have government agencies going, yep, UFOs, and we are going to publish a report. You're going to get it in June. Trump administration wanted transparency. We're going to do it. You're going to hear about the UFOs. So my question then to you all is, while we're trying to fight misinformation, what's the definition of misinformation? Because one example people used with social media and the coronavirus vaccine is that there are quote-unquote crazies out there that claim they see a UFO, and then they'll scare everybody going, yeah, there's a UFO, there's other beings in our universe. Well, if the Navy and the military said, guys, yeah, we think that could be the case, then that wasn't misinformation. And see, one thing I learned in science in my scientific background is even the smallest of studies and the studies that go against the grain might be the ones that actually steer medicine or steer our science. I told you guys in the 90s, we had to, as medical students and residents, do journal club, where you find an article and you discuss it with a group to kind of tell people about the latest research. And, you know, some people might rip the article to pieces. Sometimes they don't. And I found an article in the late 90s that postmenopausal estrogen could cause heart disease in some. I brought this up in the late 90s in journal club, and I got beat up verbally. That article makes no sense. All the other science says estrogen protects the heart. Makes no sense at all. I don't know who wrote it. I go, well, it was these doctors from, you know, it wasn't a pharmaceutical company, but they ripped it to pieces. Then all of a sudden, a few years later, in the 2002 Women's Health Initiative, they found some of the women on postmenopausal estrogen were getting heart attacks. So my study was ripped apart, just like these people saying they saw a UFO, just like those people saying, guys, I think my loved one died after their vaccine. These people are getting ripped apart, saying you're spreading false information, just for a few years later or decades later going, oh, looks like they were right. And so I think we need to be very, very careful about our approach to silencing people that want to say, look, you know, this is new. We have a new vaccine out there. I understand we want to get everybody vaccinated, you know, but I just want to inform others that this happened to us. And that's what I'm seeing a lot on social media. Now, maybe it's because Facebook is doing a really good job at stopping some of the more wild claims, but I'm noticing that people are saying, look, you know, I don't want to cause any panic. I got my vaccine. I'm happy I got my vaccine, but why do I have a weird taste in my mouth? Does anybody else have that? Can somebody explain it to me? This is a message board. Facebook is a way for people to communicate with each other and to learn from each other. And yes, we do fear misinformation. In fact, I've done studies with medical students. One was published in Clinical Pediatrics of misinformations on vaccines, saying vaccines cause autism. And even though I do not believe vaccines cause autism, but I wouldn't be surprised if some might have had like an encephalitis or some sort of effect that might have caused some changes in their brain and social function or whatever. I don't believe vaccines cause autism. And, you know, we do have to add caveats or preface some of these claims that are out there. However, you know, we need to listen. You know, if somebody is saying, look, guys, something's wrong. There's something not right here. Can, you know, am I the only one seeing this? You know, when I saw that people were collapsing after their vaccine, I said, look, maybe there's just a component that could be affecting those people that are cardiac weak. Can we look into this? So, you know, it's not misinformation. It's, guys, you know, I'm with the cause, but our science hasn't stopped here. Let's look into it. 1-877-DOCTORDALI, 1-877-DOCTORDALI.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A group of Democratic congressmen and a group of Republican senators are getting a first-hand look at the surge of illegal immigration at the U.S.-Mexico border. Former President Trump weighing in on the border crisis, telling Fox News,
"And what you're seeing now is inhumane. That's why they won't allow the press to come in. It's a horrible situation. And everyone that's seen it, nobody's seen worse. Nobody's seen anything like it. It is what they're doing now is outrageous. And they should finish the wall."
King Soopers is stepping up to help those impacted by this week's mass shooting at one of the company's locations in Boulder, Colorado. The company donating $1 million to the Colorado Healing Fund. King Soopers spokesman Kelly McGannon also saying that when you go to the grocery store, you will be able to donate at any of the grocer's check stands. That money will go to the Healing Fund. You're listening to USA Radio News. At least 7 people are dead and hundreds of homes damaged by tornadoes in the southeastern United States. Pelham, Alabama resident James Dunaway regrets not taking this threat seriously.
"I ignored the warning. I shouldn't have. I'm lucky to be here."
That audio courtesy of NBC News. Other deaths from tornadoes were in Mississippi and Georgia. Christian dessert maker Jack Phillips was back in court this week to fight a civil lawsuit over his refusal to create a cake celebrating a gender transition. A cake described by his legal team as a setup aimed at catching Colorado's best-known cake maker. The 3-day trial wrapped up in Denver and could bring the baker back to the U.S. Supreme Court. Mr. Phillips has long argued that he serves all customers but won't make products that convey messages with which he disagrees, including Halloween and anti-LGBTQ cakes. This is USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
We are back at the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Okay, so this next topic is not very easy because it's has to do with GYN exams. And so one of my listeners, this happened with the whole, remember USC and the gynecologist that got in trouble for or got accused of sexually assaulting thousands upon thousands of women during their GYN exam. One of the listeners asked, how do you know if you were assaulted during a GYN exam? Now, she wasn't a patient of this doctor, but she wanted some clarity. And so, you know, having had a GYN exam, you know, I think I could talk about the topic. Having been assaulted by a doctor, two different doctors, that I could also comment on that too. And I'm really embarrassed that somebody like me who went into medicine could have been a victim. It doesn't it stink when you become a victim, you get really, really embarrassed. Like you feel like it was your fault. And I always will. And I know people say, was it your fault? You know, you were a victim, you would have never known. I just feel like I should have known better. It just didn't make sense for me to be naked when that doctor, it wasn't even a gynecologist. It was a kidney doctor. And I don't understand why I had to be completely naked with no cover on. You know, just idiot. Or you know, somebody else had to examine me and they had to examine my breasts. And it wasn't even about the breasts. It was a completely different issue. And I'm like, really? You really had to do that? You know, and I didn't think about it then because I was young and I had never been to a doctor before. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that's what doctors have to do. And so I think there should be some education, especially to young boys and young girls and, you know, what sort of actions are usually done in an exam. And then on the flip side, when I taught students the gyne exam during their it was the gynecology, I guess, section of their training, they were like, how do I do this without being accused? You know, I don't want to be accused of, you know, touching somebody wrong. So I taught students how to approach the breast exam. You know, you don't go into the breast like this. You know, bring your fingers together, show that you're being a little bit more methodical when you're examining, come up with a technique, you know, to feel masses, things like that, that don't look like you're being, you know, assertive. Same thing with when you do a gynecological exam, don't just go straight for the vagina. You touch the knee, touch the thigh, move inward a little bit, because if you go straight, right, the women will jerk. They'll jump. It's just too surprising that there's a defense mechanism for some. So, you know, I taught students that there's a technique to do. Make sure you have somebody in the room, explain what you're doing, saying, okay, now we're gonna, you know, I'm gonna have you open the leg so I could put the speculum in and we could take a look and find your cervix, and you really intellectualize it and all that. So with you know, any sort of physical exam, doctors are kind of between a rock and a hard place because they are responsible, especially your family doctor, your internist, they are responsible for everything about you from your scalp to your toenail. You get a cancer, like a melanoma on your toe, right, that doctor is responsible. So a doctor that wants to make sure they see everything, if they're doing a physical exam, is not that out of the ordinary, because they are supposed to be there to examine melanomas, check for things, you know, evaluate for cancer, because if they miss it, they're the first person you sue. So they will, during a physical exam, want to make sure there's no moles on your back, want to make sure there's no melanomas, you know, near your butt, want to check your tippy toes. So one way to tell if something's a little odd is if all they do is check the genitals and they don't show the same care towards other parts of your body. You know, that could be kind of a red flag. Unless, of course, they're a gynecologist and that's all they're supposed to do. They just manage that. But if somebody is a family doctor and under the guise of being, you know, I am here to do a complete physical and all they do is examine the breasts and the genitals, and they're not really checking for everything else, that to me could be a little bit of a red flag. But if you're going in there for a pap smear, the pap smear involves the genitals, and you do want somebody to examine the area because you want to know that you don't have a tumor. I mean, I had a tumor on my ovary. Thank God my gynecologist was all up in there. Thank you for finding that. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. So when it you are having a full physical, you know, and they will check for lymph nodes. And lymph nodes are one of the things that might be in sensitive areas, like the neck, the underarm, the groin, you know. But they should walk you through and tell you, okay, now I'm looking for lymph nodes. Your submandibular, your anterior cervical chain, posterior cervical chain, your axillary chains, you know, your inguinal chains. They should walk you through and ask. You can say, what are you examining? Tell me, you know, which body parts. You know, can you talk to me about my anatomy? Might as well let them, you know, put them on the spot. Let them talk you through with what they're doing. Then, in terms of a breast exam, you're not supposed to be, you know, doing both at the same time. You know, a breast exam, I usually start with under the arm, and then I work down. So I check for axillary nodes, lymph nodes, and then we go down to the breast, and then I circle around the breast to see if I feel a mass. We go to the nipple area. You squeeze the nipple to see if blood comes out. I know a lot of women are like, oh, my God, she squeezed the nipple. That's kind of routine. We squeeze. Now, if they're sitting there going, making honking sounds, you know, no, that's inappropriate. But if they're squeezing the nipple, they'll usually tell you, I'm going to squeeze the nipple to see if there's blood. And then they go to the other side, start with the underarm, go to the other side. And there's a methodical way. And usually when you are examined, you do, you know, get a sense of, okay, this isn't creepy. They're being very scientific and methodical about it. With the gyne exam, you know, you're going to be on your back, obviously. All right. They're going to ask you to spread your legs because they got to get that speculum, that little duck thing in there. And that speculum is long. It's about sometimes 4 or 5 inches in order to get to the cervix. The cervix is the part of the uterus that dilates when you have a baby. When they go, oh, 10 centimeters, you know, she's 10 centimeters dilated. They're talking about the cervix. It's like a light bulb. The silver part of that light bulb is the cervix. So they need to go in there and look at that. So they're going to have to put some posterior pressure on the vagina. Sometimes they might use their fingers first to see where your cervix is. Most of the time we don't have to. But if we can't find your cervix, I tell students stop with the speculum. Do the pelvic exam first because some people are retroverted or sometimes the uterus is shifted because of scar tissue and the cervix could be off to the side. So you could do the pelvic exam first. Find where the cervix is. And with the pelvic exam, they're going to have at least 2 fingers inside the vagina, and then they're going to have a hand up above to kind of manipulate the uterus to move it so they could feel the parts, and then to feel the ovaries on each side. If you're over 40, you might get a finger in the tushy, where they will take one of the 2 fingers in the vagina and put the middle finger into the rectum and do a rectovaginal exam. This freaks a lot of women out, but it's very normal. It's very common because we want to look at the integrity of the wall. We also are able to get stool to do a stool sample. And we're also able to pick up posterior masses. Most of my posterior fibroid masses I was able to pick up was on the rectovaginal exam. That's where I felt, because the person was in a lobotomy position, the gravity was bringing that uterus down, so I could feel the backside. So when you tell the doctor, look, just don't do anything with the poo-poo hole, just, you know, examine the vagina and then get out of there, they could be missing the posterior part of the uterus. So these are exams that were created, and I get a lot of people say, well, they were created by men, but, you know, there's really nothing sexual. The average guy, all right, does not get turned on during a gyne exam. It's just not, it's just really, really not, I don't know. It's just, I wouldn't even go there. But it's very scientific. It's very choreographed and it's planned. And then in terms of inspecting the area, we are supposed to inspect the labia. We are supposed to inspect areas around the rectal area because I've found melanomas down there. You know, I mean, melanoma doesn't always have to be where the sun shines. So if you see that the doctor's looking around, again, they should talk you through. I always talk. And I'm like, I'm doing this, I'm checking for this, I don't see this, I don't see any of this, I don't see any vesicles, I don't see any blisters that could be significant for herpes, I don't see any abnormal discharge, and I talk them through. So, you know, you might need then, you know, if you do feel like, I'm not sure what the doctor's doing, talk to somebody who could be a little bit more, you know, verbal about what they're doing. But I hope that kind of clarifies what a gyne exam would entail. 1-877-DOLLY, don't go away.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair to dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing. Then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
And 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. Okay, so another topic that gets brought up a lot is the topic of rape and the topic of, this is always not too easy to talk about, having sex with somebody and their consent if they've been drunk. And so when a woman shall we say, if it's a woman and a man, if a victim, let's say, as we see in this one case in Minnesota, it was a female, would be drunk, whether it was voluntary or not, and she was raped, there was a much higher charge than if it was somebody that, I guess, wasn't drunk and, you know, I guess had sex. And the Minnesota Supreme Court has overturned an original charge that was laid on a rapist who had raped somebody because it was found that she voluntarily got drunk. And so there was a difference that I guess was now delineated as to somebody being forced to take a medication or forced to drink and forced to be incapacitated versus somebody becoming incapacitated of their own volition. Now, this can change a lot of the cases now and the approach to rapes and the approach to criminal charges. Now, I'm not saying somebody that rapes somebody who drank willfully will still not be in trouble for rape, but it does change the degree to how they're going to be prosecuted. So just to kind of give you a little bit more of this story, there was a person who was sexually assaulted, and it was somebody who had gotten drunk voluntarily. People drink, and they drink, and they go, I'm going to get wasted, or they don't realize they're getting wasted. They drink one drink, and they drink another, and they drink another, and they get to themselves to a point where they're very, very drunk. Well, Francois Mamulu Khalil had picked up an intoxicated woman outside of her bar because she was refused entry for being too drunk in 2017. Now, the woman testified that Khalil was going to take her to another party. And she passed out on, I guess, his couch. I think he took her home. Passed out on his couch. And when she woke up to him raping her. And so he originally was convicted of criminal sexual conduct. And I believe convicted of third degree criminal sexual conduct. But a unanimous decision written by Justice Paul Thiessen of the Minnesota Supreme Court said that the legal definition of mentally incapacitated does not apply to a person who became inebriated voluntarily. So third degree criminal sexual conduct, I believe, was used when the victim was incapacitated and or impaired. And they said, but it doesn't apply if somebody became impaired on purpose. So to meet the definition, the alcohol would have had to be administered to the person against their will, where they were forced to drink. So now his conviction has been overturned, but he will still have a trial because there is still the trial of did he rape her or not. So according to Minnesota Public Radio, Khalil met the victim after she had consumed a few shots of vodka, and I guess she was on a prescription narcotic. This was outside a bar in Minneapolis in, is it called Dinky Town? I guess there's a town called Dinky Town. And the woman was allegedly refused entry into a bar for being too drunk, so he invited her and a friend to a party, and the two men actually drove her to a house. No party was there, and then she testified she woke up to being raped. So this was, but this is something that obviously is going to have ramifications in terms of how courts will convict or will rate the severity of the crime in terms of somebody being inebriated. Now, what's been happening this whole time, and I've been seeing, is many younger people, now with the laws changing and Me Too and all that, have been saying, look, if somebody's drunk, I'm just not going to go there. And it's interesting because a lot of the dates have been a little different, not because of COVID, but, you know, when I was dating, it was keep drinking, Dahlia, keep drinking. Yeah, I'll buy you more drinks. I'll buy you more drinks. Women are saying, no one's buying us drinks anymore. Right? Well, it's because if you technically get drunk and you guys have sex, even if you ask for it, it could be considered rape. So, you know, then rather you be sober. And mind you, for women, this is very, very protective. Unfortunately, a lot of us have done really, really stupid things and been in bad positions because we got ourselves inebriated. You know, it's really hard to fight and do self-defense and all the things that you were trained by your daddy to do after you've had some drinks in you. Now you're not going to be in any position to protect yourself, and you're going to be reliant on somebody taking you home In my case, what happened is my ride had a date. So, you know, he said, look, you know, I got a date. I was like, go for it. I'll find another ride. Another student offered to take me home. And yeah, and it had nothing to do with alcohol. It was, unfortunately, opportunity. So, you know, taking alcohol out of the equation, you know, could help the situation. But, you know, there are people out there that like to drink. And a big question I get from, you know, young males and students is, you know, what if they ask for it and you have sex and then they turn around later and said they didn't ask for it? How do you protect yourself? Well, I don't know what the answer is. But if anybody sees you with somebody sloppy drunk and you end up having sex with them sloppy drunk, all right, you know, you could be accused of you know, rape. And if they weren't of full consent, it's very scary. I'm so glad I'm married and I'm not out there, because, you know, I could just imagine myself getting into trouble saying, you know what, he said he wanted to. And then he wakes up going, oh, my gosh, I slept with Dr. Dahlia. Oh, my gosh. No way. She forced me. She forced me. And then people are like, look at what you did. I'm like, no, he wanted me. I thought he really wanted me. Nope, I really didn't, girl. Look at you. And then I'm like, I have no defense. Nobody would believe me. That's pretty scary. But it's also scary for girls that go out there, have fun. You know, I mean, look what happened to that Miami girl. That is just frightening. I don't know what the situation was. She went to Miami, we heard, by herself to party. And I guess she met a couple guys. I don't know what pill they gave her and why she took it or if it was forced. She's raped, killed, or she ends up dying after the rape. We don't know what happened, and it's just frightening stuff. If I had a child that was, you know, possibly vulnerable to those types of assaults, I would say I'd be probably the strictest parent out there. Luckily, I have boys, and my boys are really, really good. I thought I would have boys, and I was so worried that they would be, you know, kind of, you know, hounds and, you know, always after the ladies and chasing tail and all that. And they aren't like that. They're really good. You know, I might have actually raised them right, you know, and daddy raised them right. You know, daddy, I remember daddy. Daddy kind of, you know, made the rounds. I remember him growing up. And I was like, oh, gosh, you know, he's in a league beyond anything I could do. I couldn't go there. But my boys are pretty, you know, they're kind of, you know, one woman guys. I'm pretty impressed by that. They're good boys. But they also know, you know, no drinking. If somebody's drinking or somebody's drunk, you could get yourself into a lot of trouble. If they're taking drugs, if they're, you know, don't go near that, because you could be in trouble. So this is going to be interesting. My only fear is if somebody misinterprets this as, well, you got yourself drunk, it's your fault. We have to be careful with that. Just because a girl enjoys alcohol like anybody else doesn't mean she deserves to get raped, you know, or a boy or anything like that. I mean, that we have to be very careful in the courts with that. But it doesn't sound like that's what's happening in Minnesota. It sounds like they're going to approach it as it would be a lesser severity, and they won't say somebody was mentally impaired if they did take the drugs on their own volition or drink on their own volition. So we'll keep you guys posted on how that plays out. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey,
Hey, y'all. Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.